Can anybody relate to Peter up there? Everybody just want to fish, huh? I know I love fishing. Sure agree with Peter on that one. If you could turn with me to Acts chapter 4, that's where we're going to be at this morning. And I kind of want to just think about what we just watched. This is kind of like a modern day example of what the disciples would look like if they were in our town. And you think about that men like this is who God used. Men like this is who God said, you are qualified enough to be used by me. And I think that's a powerful, powerful statement because, I mean, as you can see, they all had issues. Some of them were probably illiterate for the most part. Some of them probably couldn't even read for all we know. What we do understand is that they had, obviously, the power of God with them. But not just the power of God, but they had Christ as the cornerstone. And I think in Acts chapter 4, as we dive and we read, we're going to kind of see, and like I said, just kind of looking at a video, Peter, who was just a fisherman, Peter and John, who's going to be on trial, and just the power that was filled in them and the power that they had because of having Christ as their cornerstone and the strength that comes through that. So like I said, in Acts chapter 4, we're going to be reading this morning, and if I could call this sermon anything, I would say, first think about it, Jesus is our cornerstone. Our cornerstone, that's who Jesus is representing. So I want to go ahead and read in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Cephas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, was lame being asked, how was he healed? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for this is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So, Peter and John were being put on trial. They were being accused of healing a man. Interesting situation to be put on trial by. But once again, I want to kind of just focus on the strength and the courage and just overall how much, I mean, just overall how much confidence Peter had when he came before these people. So some of these people, we're going to kind of just go through the verses and we're going to let the word of God speak through this story. So we kind of look in verse 1 and we see the Sadducees. And you're probably asking, okay, so who are the Sadducees? To kind of break it down, I'm pretty sure you've heard the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all these other different groups. If you ever want to remember who the Sadducees were, here's the easy way to remember, and this is how I've been taught. The Sadducees were sad, you see. And the way you remember that is because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in miracles. They were trying to push that away as much as possible. So they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't have a hope. They didn't have joy. So like I said, that's a good way to remember the Sadducees. So the Sadducees were taking Peter and John and putting them on trial, and they got some of the high priests, and they were saying, these guys, they need to be arrested because they are speaking all this false prophet stuff. They are trying to say that they have this amazing power to heal people, so we need to put them on trial. So we kind of look more in verse 3 and 4. We see Peter and John getting arrested. And even when they were arrested, we can see that, I mean, before they were arrested, how many people came to know Christ? They stood on strong. They stood on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And it's because of the message they preached and because how strong they stood on that cornerstone, they were able to save over 5,000 people that day. We see in verse 5, we look at Peter and his position. He's standing on trial against the high priest and his family. And as we understand, back in the day, the high priest and his family would be like the highest government official of this time. We see how Peter, and you know, when Peter goes up to these men, I mean, just think about his position. You're the lowest of lowest men, a fisherman, and you're standing before the highest and highest that have all power, that have all control of pretty much in this time, one of some of the greatest and higher royalties are out there. Yet Peter did not back down. He showed faith, he showed strength, he showed courage. And once again, that goes back to that cornerstone. In verse 7 and 8, when Peter was questioned, he responded with what? He responded, filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter responded. And I think that's something we should definitely think about when it, going back to that cornerstone. And then to kind of finish off the verses, as we see more into 8 through 12, we kind of see as Jesus, he claimed Jesus as our only true and salvation. And he finished up by saying Jesus is our cornerstone. And I keep saying cornerstone, cornerstone, and over again because I want y'all to, I want every one of us to grasp, and I want even myself to grasp this. So I looked up the definition of cornerstone on the biblical terms of it, and this is what came up. Cornerstone is referred to as a foundation stone. I want to get y'all to hear that. Foundation stone. And this is a symbolic, it's symbolic of Christ, whom the Apostle Paul referred to in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, as the head of the corner and is the chief cornerstone of the church. So Jesus is our foundation. The cornerstone is our foundation. I want y'all to think about what a foundation is. Any building, anything that we stand on, anything that we walk on, especially if you're talking about buildings that have stories on it, what happens is that foundation crumbles. Everything's coming down. Our foundation is what we stand on as believers. Our foundation is what we stand on as those that proclaim to know Jesus Christ. Without our foundation, we have nothing. So Jesus is our cornerstone because he's our foundation. That's who we stand on. So to add to that, what is so important about us standing on our foundation and our cornerstone? And what is possible being able to have that cornerstone in our life? And I think Peter and John showed us that so well. We should stand on our foundation with everything we do. Not a few things, not a couple of things, but every single thing we do on our day-to-day lives, we should stand on our foundation. So how do we go about that? How do we stand on our foundation? You know, it's not this big, confusing, hard way of doing it, but, you know, it's simple things. Standing on our foundation of Christ is literally us showing that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to show what I've built up. And what we've built up is our relationship with Christ. So, I mean, it could be simple things. One of the few things that people don't realize how much it makes an impact, if you ever go somewhere and eat, praying before you eat your meal, that goes a long way. It may not seem like much, but it's once again, it's showing that you have a foundation built on something. You have a foundation that even though you're in front of all these other people at a restaurant or area, you're not ashamed of the gospel. You're not afraid to show, I'm praying and giving thanks to my Lord in heaven. It's very, very small and simple things that we don't grasp, that we sometimes miss out on, because it's all about, once again, showing how our foundation is built. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things when it comes to just following Christ, is that it's so easy for us to want to impress people. It's so easy for us to want to be able to keep up with the Joneses. It's so easy for us to want to be able to not be embarrassed or not, you know, not want to be able to be called, you know, a certain name or not wanting to be called out because we're following Jesus. You know, if our foundation crumbled before us, we wouldn't know what to do. But yet it's so easy for us, especially as people, and like I say, I'm pointing at myself too. A lot of times when we have conversations with people or we feel the Holy Spirit tugging at us to speak about Christ, we back down. We back down from it. And that's not showing our foundation. I know there's moments in our lives that we're given opportunities to share the gospel, to speak about Jesus, to just be able to mention one thing about him, to share love with other people, but yet we back down because of our own selfishness. We back down because we feel like our foundation is not built up enough, or like our walk with Christ is not strong enough that we can walk on it. We don't feel like we have that strong enough cornerstone to step on because we have Jesus. But what I want y'all to understand is the cornerstone of Jesus Christ is unbreakable. And we see when Peter was put in front of the high priest, he knew that. And that's why when he stood in front of the high priest, he stood out with not a bit of fear, not a bit of discouragement. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he proclaimed Jesus Christ. No shame, no worries, just focused on his foundation and his cornerstone. I heard this really, really cool quote. I was talking to Rusty this past week, and we were just kind of just speaking about, just once again, we got into the spiritual conversation, and he said this really, really cool quote, and I want to quote it, and I heard it from him. We should not be the thermometer, but we should be the thermostat. We should not be the thermometer, but we should be the thermostat. That means that as believers of Christ, we aren't the ones that are just seeing how the temperature goes up and down. We're the thermostat. We're the ones changing the temperature. The second you walk in, somebody should know that you stand on the foundation of Christ, because you can be the one to walk into any situation and be filled by the Holy Spirit to change any kind of situation. You could change a very hot, tense, extreme situation. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can cool that situation right down. By the power of God, we can do anything that he's called us to through his power and his glory, but it's by standing on that cornerstone. It's by showing that no matter what happens, that you're ready to stand for the foundation that you built with your relationship with Christ. And I believe there's so much more that goes into it as well, and I think that leads to my second point on this. We should communicate our foundation. What do you mean by that? What do you mean we should communicate our foundation? And I'm not talking about the type of communication that I feel like us as people have kind of fallen into today. And I'm not saying anybody that does this is wrong or anything, because I believe that we should still spread on how we should communicate in many different ways. But I think we've kind of gotten to the point, especially with social media and all these other different methods of communicating, how powerful true communication is, how powerful communication should really be done, how the strength that's involved into it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm just as guilty. Everybody loves getting on social media, right? Everybody loves posting their opinions on social media. Everybody loves stating or replying to something that somebody else posts on social media. I mean, can we all kind of agree with that? I mean, any kind of topic, any kind of big subject, a lot of people, especially these days, the first thing they want to do is jump to Facebook. First thing they want to do is jump to any kind of social media platform and state something that's on their mind or their heart, which once again is not totally wrong, but I still think we miss some of the most important values of true communication. And I think just being a believer of Christ and showing the foundation of God involves communication with other people. And I believe that's one of the greatest things about that Peter and John showed us. They showed us in such a great example. When Peter and John stood before the high priest, they communicated directly to them. And once again, I think that's something we're missing, especially today as believers, direct communication. We're stuck with texts. We're stuck with all these other, like I said, social media platforms and all these different things like that. But it's like something is so powerful about seeing the foundation somebody is built on when they're directly communicating with you face to face. Something is so powerful about that experience of sitting down and talking about how good God is, and you can literally feel the presence of Jesus Christ through that person when you're directly talking and communicating with them. One thing me and my fiance try to do all the time is that any kind of serious conversation or anything that we feel like is too important to talk through text, we try to talk about it face to face. Because we want our foundation to be built on Jesus Christ, and we want to carry that into our marriage. Because anything that's done through social media, text, or any other form of method can be so miscommunicated. And a foundation that's built on Christ has a true communication between two people, and it can be shared from believer to believer or from believer to non-believer. I believe there's so much power in that, especially when you're dealing with your family, your spouse, your friends, your children. They see your foundation you built on sometimes based on the way you communicate to them. How do you go about sharing the gospel with them? How do you go about teaching them? There's so many things we miss as believers is because, once again, there's something about true communication. When you actually look up the true meaning of communication, there are a few things that are qualified on the ways communication is really done. If you take any kind of psychology class, one of the things they talk about communication is that there are a lot of different things that actually need to be done for communication to be sent from one person to the next. Some of the few things are like eye contact, facial expressions, you know, just mouth movement. All those different things shows true communication from one person to the next. And I believe, especially as believers of Christ, we show our communication based on our day-to-day walk with Him, but as well as when people can directly see and talk to us. Something, it's just something so different about that. And I'll share this quick story of something that happened to me last year. I went to the eye doctor, and I kind of just had a routine appointment, just going to just check on my vision. And they had this they called me in the back, and I still had to wait. They had to sit me down, and there was another older black man. It was in Ville Platte, an older guy, and he kind of like had this rough, kind of mean-looking demeanor. And I apologize because I was judging him. You know, I was like, man, this guy don't look like he wants to talk to anybody. I mean, kind of like that rough, tough, kind of older and just old man kind of feel to him. You know, just not want to say anything, totally closed off. And I go, like I said, I was judging him. So I sat down and kind of just waiting. We were both kind of waiting for the eye doctor to call us in. And he kind of just said, you know, how are you doing, young man? At first, I was just surprised he even talked to me, and he kind of talked to me in a calm voice, because just like I said, the way he looked and his demeanor, I was like, oh, man, you know, it's like, oh, surprised he even said anything to me. So, you know, we began talking, and I was just spice of life stuff. We were talking about the weather, and just he started telling about his family and all these other things. And I could remember this time of year that at that point in time, I was not struggling with, I guess, my identity in Christ, but there was a lot on my mind. There was a lot of things working in my life that I believe that Christ was trying to show me. And I can remember this man just out of nowhere bringing up, man, God is good. I was just like, what? Just out of nowhere. He's just, God is good. And I was like, yes, sir, He is. And he just started going off about just how amazing God is. And he just kept going and going and going and going. And, you know, I just started having a conversation with him just about the Bible and all these spiritual things and just that communication we had back and forth. And it's like I knew where that man's foundation stood. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit coming from that man. I felt that his foundation was built on Jesus Christ. I felt that his cornerstone was Jesus Christ. And it was something so great about that moment of communication. Just two men talking, side by side, just talking about how great God is. I would have never experienced that over any kind of social media, over any kind of just any other method of communication, but just sitting there with that man in that moment. I didn't pull out my cell phone. I didn't have nothing on me. We were just sitting down talking. And there's something so powerful about when you have a foundation built on Christ, on how you communicate with people. Because once again, that reflects on our family, our friends. Because here's the thing, our foundation that we build with Christ is not just to hold us up. It's to hold the others up as well. So the bigger that foundation is, the more people you're able to hold up. The bigger that foundation is, the stronger it's going to be. The bigger that foundation is, the more you know that it's unbreakable. The bigger the foundation you have with Christ, is the more and more we get to communicate with the people that we are closest to and impact them in ways that we couldn't even imagine. You know, when it comes to just having a foundation and just standing on who Christ is, I think we can all agree that as believers, that's really all we have to stand on these days. There are so many just things on the news and so many things we're facing as believers that we have to stand on something. And I'll say this quote, and I've heard this quote said to me before, and I think it's such a powerful quote. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And I believe that's so true as believers. It's so hard for us to stand on a foundation because we think it's crumbling all around us. With everything we see on the news, with everything that's going on around the world, we think that the foundation that Christ has built, the cornerstone that's Jesus Christ, we think that it's cracking. We think that it's falling apart. But I'm telling y'all, that's so far from true. That's so opposite. If anything, God is becoming a stronger and stronger foundation than he's ever been. And he's needing us more than ever, like Peter and John stood up for what they believed in the midst of their position. He's needing us more than ever to stand on our foundation that we build with him. Because if we don't, who will? Nobody else is going to stand on the foundation that Christ has still left from us. The same foundation that Christ has set for Peter and John and then the rest of the disciples back then is the same foundation that we can stand on now. But it's about us standing. And I believe that even though we aren't on trial like Peter and John, I believe that every single day we're given a trial. I believe that every single day we're given a situation. Every single day of our lives, we're standing on trial against Satan and his demons and his enemies. And we're standing on our foundation of Christ. And how are we going to stand on against him? How are we going to proclaim when Satan tries to attack us and the many things that try to attack us? How are we going to be the ones to proclaim Jesus Christ and say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that the only true salvation is him? Do you have a strong enough foundation with Christ? Are you building up your cornerstone, your relationship with him, to know that no matter what happens, no matter what somebody else throws at you, that you're going to be able to stand trial and say, I proclaim Jesus for the rest of my life? Because that's what Peter did. He didn't care what happened to him. He knew that once he said that he would end up in a bad situation. But once again, he was filled with the Spirit, but he knew where his foundation stood. And he knew no matter whether it was on earth or in heaven, that his Jesus was unbreakable, that his foundation was unstoppable. So my question to you this morning, or what are you standing on? Are you standing on a foundation that's built on Christ, or are you standing on a broken foundation that can easily be destroyed under your feet? And I want you to think about that. What is your foundation built on? When the time comes and God puts you through the tests, will you be able to stand on your foundation with him? Because once again, it's an unbreakable foundation that's filled with love, grace, mercy, and a power that we can't even understand. But you have to make the choice to stand on that foundation with him and say, I'll walk with you, Jesus, because I know that what I'm standing on is unbreakable. No matter how hard, no matter how tough, no matter how rough it gets, you will never break on me. So I've spent time in prayer this morning. I pray that you can just think about how strong your foundation, your cornerstone with him has been. Maybe there's things or just more you want to do, or maybe there's just something inside you that, man, maybe I haven't been trying to build my foundation as much as I thought I have been. So as we stand in prayer, I'm going to ask that we just think about that. What can we do as believers? How can we stand even more to show the power of Christ? I'm going to be up in the front if anybody needs to come to the altar and pray, or whatever you may need, just pray about that. Pray about standing on that foundation, that cornerstone built on Christ. Not just for yourself, but for your family, for your friends, the people you love. Because they need a foundation just as much as you. And maybe God is asking you to be that foundation that they can stand on, that they may need to be strong. That way y'all can be strong together. So just spend that time in prayer.